We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage, said the Magi. What was the star? Who are these Magi? Well, science would posit that at that time, at the birth of our Savior, the planets Jupiter, Venus, and a star named Regulus were aligned. Astrophysicists, using their mathematical calculations, say that this only happens every 38,000 years. So never before in civilization has anyone seen this, and no one has seen it since. But it was a special star, this bright light. When we think of it, symbolically, there's a significance. For the Romans, Jupiter was the chief god, the father god. Venus, the goddess of love and motherhood. And Regulus means little king. So can't we just project and think, the Heavenly Father sent his little son, the newborn king, into this world through the loving mother, Mary, who had conceived by the Holy Spirit. Whatever the star was, it was a star that proclaimed the birth of the divine Messiah. With that, the Magi saw this. Now, the Magi, sometimes also called astronomers, astrologers, the wise men, because of their gifts, we even say the three kings. We know them by name. So if you were moving from right to left, no, left to right, facing the altar, we'd have Melchior, the gift of gold, Caspar, the gift of frankincense, Balthazar, the gift of myrrh. Their remains are in Cologne Cathedral in Germany. They probably came from ancient Babylon. Babylon would be present-day Iraq, where astronomy and astrology were prominent. As a matter of fact, in Baghdad, there was an ancient observatory. Also, 500 years to 600 years before our Lord, the prophet Daniel, a Jewish exile, was the chief magoi for King Nebuchadnezzar. He wrote down the prophecies that there would be this star proclaiming the Messiah. And these magi would have had that written account. So they came. They came searching. They came searching with an open heart. And they followed that star until they reached Bethlehem. They entered the home, and as we heard, they fell prostrate. They adored. They presented those gifts. Gold for the king, frankincense for the priest, myrrh, a burial ointment for the one who would die. They said nothing. But when they left, the star that was so bright was nothing compared to the light that was in their heart. They had beheld the face of God, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, light from light. So my brothers and sisters, these magi beheld the face of God. Yes, they went by a different route back home, but not just physically. Spiritually, their lives have changed. And that's why we recognize them as canonized saints. We need to remember on this Feast of the Epiphany, this awakening of the world to the presence of Christ, that you and I have been awakened. We've received the gift of faith. This is what we received at baptism, when by that sacrament we were brought into the life and love of the Holy Trinity, and we were recreated as a child of God and made a member of the church. Nevertheless, each day of our life, we have to be following the light, the true light, the light of Jesus Christ. Each day is another day to journey spiritually with our Lord. So each day, especially as we're beginning this new year, be resolved to offer that gift of gold. And probably that gift for most of us is our precious time. Take time for our God. Take time to be with the Lord. And with that, offer the gift of frankincense, looking to Jesus as the priest, but offering yourself to him by time for prayer, the reading of sacred scripture, other study, of course, time for Holy Mass, other devotions to the Blessed Sacrament, time for regular examination of conscience and confession. Keep the life united with Christ the priest. The word priest in Latin is pontifex. It means bridge builder. So the idea is Christ is the bridge between us and the Heavenly Father. And we want to follow that light of Christ, crossing that bridge of life one day and entering everlasting life. Offer also that gift of myrrh, meaning sacrifice. As you well know, this is the year of mercy. So Pope Francis has said, be mindful of doing those good spiritual and corporal works of mercy, doing those acts of sacrifice to really heal the wounds of this world, but also to bring the love of Christ to others. Stay awake. Follow the light. Keep on that path that always is seeking a closer union with Christ. But be on guard. There's a guard. There's a warning in our gospel passage today. Evil lurks. Well, there's this beautiful star. To use the language of Star Wars, there's the Death Star that we always have to be aware of. And the Death Star, you could say this dark side, isn't really dark because darkness cannot overcome light, can't conquer light. But it will try to obliterate it. It's sort of like if you're standing in a parking lot with all the lights, all the light poles and so on, we can't see the beautiful stars in the heavens. The artificial light that pollutes our vision prevents us from seeing those beautiful stars. Well, this is the light of the Death Stars. It tries to obliterate that vision of Christ. So we hear about a man named Herod. Herod was a wicked man, a wicked king. He was appointed by the Roman Caesars to rule Judea. He sold himself, body and soul, to Rome. When he was appointed in Rome, he went to the temple of Jupiter and offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Here, the Jewish king participating in pagan worship. In some ways, he was a good king because he kept peace between the Jews and the Romans. He built many beautiful buildings, even refurbished the temple, made it more beautiful than ever. But he always feared someone would take his kingdom. So he murdered his wife, his mother-in-law, and three of his sons because he thought they were plotting against him. Now, when the wise men come, the Magi, one would think a Jewish king would be thrilled to know the Messiah has come. Not at all. Yes, Herod seems to befriend the Magi. Oh, let me know so I can worship him too. But if we go a few more verses, we know King Herod ordered the slaughter of all the little baby boys 2 years old and younger in the little town of Bethlehem. The first martyrdom for our Lord. Well, time goes on. Shortly thereafter, Herod begins to decline, so he retires to his palace about 10 miles outside of Jerusalem, high up on a mountain. He orders that 300 people, the most noble people of Jerusalem, be arrested on false charges, imprisoned, and upon his death, they'd be taken to the Hippodrome and slaughtered so that tears would be shed when King Herod died. Fortunately, it never happened. But as he was dying in his bed, he had these beautiful cloths of gold covering him. But underneath that, archaeologists tell us his body was corrupting, probably by cancer, some kind of gangrene. Maggots were in the wounds. His evil consumed him. The life of the Death Star. So we need to be on guard in our present day and age to always look for the true light, the light of Christ, because there are the Death Stars around us. When we hear sometimes of what we refer to as stars, movie stars, television stars, athletic stars, whoever they may be, are they really stars? Are they leading us to Christ? Are they showing us a life of debauchery, hedonism, sinfulness? And to follow that path leads to the very destruction of oneself. You and I have seen that happen. But be careful in your own lives, especially for you young people, because there will be those that will say, oh, you'll be a rising star in our social circle if you smoke the pot, drink the alcohol, escape out at night, and your parents don't know it. You'll be the rising star in my life if you sleep with me. I don't really care about you, but I want you. possession. Or you'll be the rising star in the political party. All you have to do is give up your faith. Oh, you can still walk up for communion, but give up your faith and forget about the sanctity of life and marriage and so on. You can be the rising star in the corporate world if all you do is lie, cheat, cook the books. The rising stars. And how many come crashing down because they're really the death stars? We always have to be on guard. Search for the true light. Follow that light. So my brothers and sisters on this Feast of the Epiphany, stay awake. This is why what we're doing right now is so important. Every Sunday, coming here for Mass to hear the Word of God, to renew our faith in the teachings we profess in the Creed, and to receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. This gives us a foundation, a strength to live our life journey for the rest of the week. But offer those prayers each week, that gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Surround yourself by the good stars. So have good friends, good Christian friends. This is why, for those of you who are young people, come to the youth group on Tuesday nights. Have good Christian Catholic friends. Or even look at the lives of the saints. We have so many wonderful saints who lived in all the different ages, but faced the same trials that we face, and yet shined brightly in this world, showing the love of Christ. When we do that, then we too become that light for others. So important in our world today. We could look at the news and think it's all doom, gloom, and darkness. But we need to see the great lights. For instance, we know well ISIS is probably one of the great death stars of our present day and age. How is it that these people can read the Quran and then say, God is great, and go out, rape, pillage, murder, persecute, and so on. And yet, light shines through. So many Christians, even though they've been persecuted, are still living the faith. Those who have been martyred are great witnesses of the faith. And the news doesn't tell us, but I've seen reports of thousands of Muslims who are converting to Christ because of that witness of faith. And that witness of faith leads them to turn to the gospel of love and find God's truth. Yes, there's light. Light will always penetrate and defeat the darkness. So you and I on this Feast of the Epiphany have to remember, stay awake. Follow the true light. Search for Christ each day and be that light for others. May God bless you.